Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Today's scripture will be read from John 15, verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one who laid down his life for a friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all the things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another.
Well, pray with me as we approach this text this morning. Father, we thank you for the way that Jesus has spoken to us here, Lord, and he's given us all sorts of reasons and hows and consequences and all the things come with this passage, Father. But above all, Father, we come to you this morning. We say thank you for loving us first. Father, I know my own heart. I know where I was. I know where I was headed. I know what I desired. And Father, I wanted nothing to do with you, Father, but you love me anyway. Even in the midst of my rebellion, you showed yourself faithful and loving to a sinner like me. And Father, every one of us could stand and testify here this morning of how you broke in on our rebellion. Father, you broke in and you brought us to surrender through the love of Christ. And we come this morning thanking you, Father. But we ask, Lord, that there wouldn't just be love between me and between you, Father, but between each other. Lord, that you've called us not to just love God, but to love man, and particularly, first and foremost, in the context of the church, you've called us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I pray you'd help us to do that. Father, that's hard sometimes. It's easy on a surface level, Lord, but sometimes it's hard to do it at the level with which you desire us to do it. And so, Father, we ask you, come this morning. You make us, you mold us, you change us where we need to be changed, Father, so that we in the church might have a loving life together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have to admit, there certainly are a few things. I don't know how many of y'all know this or not, but from basically 1999 to 2008 when I came here, that's basically 10 years, right? Yes, basically 10 years. I had the privilege of serving basically as a youth pastor in some capacity, some form or fashion over those years. And one of the things I have to admit that sometimes I miss is crazy games. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Youth, I know y'all been eating crazy stuff and playing some games like that. I used to love to see who I could gross out and all those things. And I do miss that. I mean, it's just sort of hard. I've thought about trying it, but I don't think I would get very far if I got the Wednesday night prayer group. All right, guys, we're going to divide into two teams, and you're going to relay race down, and you're going to get your head on a bat, and you're going to spin around 10 times and see who can get past and get back the quickest. I think Gene's team would win. What do you bet if we did that? It just doesn't work with the Wednesday night crowd, right? So, I mean, I miss that a little bit. But one of my favorite games that we used to do, it was a lot of fun, and it led into all sorts of different topics. You do realize when youth ministers play, they're not just playing to play, right? They're not just taking up time being silly. Y'all thinking he's just playing games. No, we always play with a purpose, all right? One of my favorite games was a game called Honey, If You Love Me. Any of y'all ever played that game before? Any of you young folks? All right, good. Honey, If I Love You goes this way. You have everybody, and you get them in a circle, and the person in the middle is it. And their job is to get someone on the outside to smile, all right? And here's how they do it. They get up in someone's face, and they say something like this: Honey, if you love me, would you please, please smile? And he has to respond back with a straight face. He's already in the middle. He's already lost. Honey, I love you, but I just can't smile. Do you think you can do that, Jaden, this morning? You're in the middle, man. He just lost. He gets to come in the middle, and it's sort of fun. You get to go around, and really what it does, it's a good icebreaker, right? It gets everybody talking, gets everybody kind of laughing a little bit, and just gets one another comfortable, right, with one another. There are a lot of relationships. You just can't help, when someone tells you that they love you, you just can't help but smile, right? I mean, there's Love and laughter go hand in hand. Love and joy go hand in hand. I mean, there are relationships that God has ordained that love be a central aspect of it, right? Husbands and wives. Parents and children. Blood, brothers and sisters. And of course, as we look at the scripture, in the context of what we're talking about this morning, church, brothers and sisters. Love is to be a key element in our relationships, right? Did you know that you're supposed to love your brothers and sisters here in the church? Did you know that? Oh, of course we do, Brother Ben. Of course we know that. We love each other. No. Did you realize that you're supposed to really love one another in the church? Every member of West Main Baptist Church, right? I mean, from the youngest to the oldest, from the easiest to the hardest, right? From those who have hurt you in the past to those who have helped you in the past, from those who are more lovely and for those who are more unlovely, right? Every single aspect, every single person. That's what the covenant's about. When a person joins this church, I always say it. You've heard me say it a million times. I wish it was a million anyway. When a new person joins the church, they are promising today to love you, and you are promising today to love them back, right? We are to have a loving life together. And that's what this passage is all about this morning. Here's the big idea as we turn to this passage here in John 15. John 15, love one another as Christ commanded. Love one another as Christ commanded. And you say, Brother Ben, that's the simplest big idea you've done in 6 months. It is simple. But are we doing it, right? Sometimes simple doesn't equal easy. Okay, you get what I'm saying here? This can be very hard, right? It's easy to love certain ones, and it's hard to love others. And I pray, as we come to the end of this tonight, that God will begin to do a work in our heart that would manifest love through and through the people of West Main Baptist Church. So, you see so clearly this command is like bookends. You see that there in the text? John 15, 12 through 17. It's like bookends around this text, the command there. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. So clearly, this is Jesus speaking. This is my commandment. That you love one another just as I have loved you. And then skip to the end. That's the beginning. Skip to the end. And you see the very same thing. He says it again like bookends. Right? Like bookends. Verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. I don't think Jesus could be any clearer here, can he? I mean, he's absolutely clear. Straightforward. Those who are... followers of him, right? Followers of his, right? Those whom he has laid down his life for are to love each other. And of course, the immediate context here is the 12 disciples. He's speaking to the 12 disciples. But this commandment and its implications, I mean, it spreads to everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, right? From the moment he said it into eternity. Did you know we'll never stop loving one another? Aren't you excited about the day when your love will be made perfect and you will be perfectly loved, and the struggle, the preacher will never have to get up and preach this message in heaven. Never. But here on earth, we have to preach this to ourselves. Love one another. So you see the commandment to love, right? But you and I know well that the commandment to love, it's a slippery concept, isn't it, right? Because we love lots of different things. We love tacos. I love your hairdo, by the way. I mean, I love your outfit today. I love my wife. I love my kids, right? We use the context or the idea, the concept of love in all sorts of different ways, right? With varying intensities, with varying commitments. So when Jesus tells us to love one another, what exactly does he have in mind? Fortunately, our text, he doesn't leave us hanging, right? He's got bookends, and in the middle, he fills in all of the blanks, all right? What does that look like? So in our text this morning, we find two hows, We find two whys and we find two consequences, all right, as we look at this. So how am I supposed to love? Why am I supposed to love? And then finally, what happens if I don't? What happens if I don't love? So let's look here at the beginning here. The first, how am I supposed to love, is this. Love in a way that's sacrificial. Isn't that what he says here? I mean, he gets right in it. Love in a way that's sacrificial. How am I supposed to love, Brother Ben? Sacrificially. Look at verse 12 and 13. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So how am I supposed to love you? And how are you supposed to love me and the people next to you? Just like Jesus did, who sacrificed himself. Right? Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Jesus allowed himself to be sacrificed. I mean, that's key here with this aspect of love. Jesus allowed himself. He sacrificed himself. The Romans and Jews didn't do it. Right? I mean, they're not the ones. Yes, they nailed him to the cross. Yes, they turned him over to Pilate and all those things. But the Jews did not sacrifice Jesus. God the Father did not crush Jesus against his will. Right? He voluntarily, gladly, he willed to be sacrificed. And we see this so clearly in John 10, 17 and 18. Listen to what it says here. John 10, 17 and 18. Jesus says this, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one's taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. And so friend, I mean, think about this. Out of the joy that was before Jesus, right? The joy of obedience to the Father. The joy of redeeming all who will believe on Jesus, right? That's what was before him. And so out of that love, out of that sort of thinking, love for the Father, love for humanity, Jesus laid down his life, sacrificed himself. And you and I are to do the same thing. Oh, Brother Ben, now listen, I'll die for my spouse. I'll die for my kids, but I ain't dying for so-and-so at my church. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. Jesus is not calling you to die for somebody. He's calling you to live for somebody. Do you see the difference there? He's already died. He's laid down. He's sacrificed. You don't have to. You're called in Romans 12 to be a living sacrifice. Live for somebody is what he's getting at here. In order to live for somebody else, though, you have to die spiritually to yourself, right? So there is a death that has to happen. You live for someone else by dying spiritually to yourself. You've got to serve one another. You've got to regard one another as more important than the other. So sacrificial love is a call to die to self. That's what it is. There was a little 5-year-old and a little 8-year-old, a little 5-year-old boy and a little 8-year-old girl, and they were going with their daddy one day to the hardware store. And they pulled up there, and they were really excited when they pulled up because outside was a petting zoo that had been set up. And the idea was, just drop your kids off here. We'll play with them and watch them so that you can go in the store and spend all the money you want without any distraction. They probably found out that parents stay longer if their kids aren't going, I want to go eat. I want to go to the toy store. I want to, you know. They thought they'd stay a little longer, spend a little more money. And so when they got out, they said, Daddy, please, please, can we go to the petting zoo, this little 5-year-old and little 8-year-old? And his dad's like, well, sure, that'll be fine. So he reaches in his wallet, pulls out $1 a piece for him, and says, y'all have fun. I'll be right back. I'm just going to go in and get a saw. And so he goes in, and he's in there for about just a few minutes, and then he turns around, and he's sort of surprised to see that his 8-year-old daughter is right behind him, and he's like, well, that's kind of weird. She loves petting zoos. I mean, why is she in here? And so he kind of bends down. He can see that she's a little bit sad-faced. Honey, what are you doing in here? Why aren't you out in the petting zoo? And with those big brown eyes, she looked at him and said, Daddy, it costs $2 to get in. and I gave my dollar to my brother, right? And then she said this to her daddy, love is an action. Isn't that true, church? Love is an action. But even further, the truth is this. The truth is this. Love is not just an action. It is a sacrificial action, right? There's sacrifice in love. Love always pays a price. Love always, always costs something. Love is expensive sometimes, isn't it? It's always expensive. Sometimes it's more expensive than other times. When you love, it benefits the other person. It's not for you. We don't grab and hold on. We give out. It dies to self, right? It makes sacrifice possible when you die to self. And that's what it's all about here. So friend, Jesus has called you to love one another, and that love is to be sacrificial. Now think about this with me. This message is going to be sort of introspective. I want you to look and reflect on your own life. Here at West Main Baptist Church, do you love only those who love you? And you say, well, this is a small church. Man, we love everybody. I don't think so. Right? I mean, I know people. I know there's pasts. I know that things have went on. I know that there's been disagreements. I know, and your love is not where it should be with every person in this church. I fully believe that. I fully believe that. Would you be happy to avoid those here in the church whom you have trouble loving? Would you be okay with that? If maybe they just stopped coming? Are you walking around with your judge's gavel, thinking you're better than others? Can I bust your bubble just a little bit this morning? You and I have more in common with the worst sinner in Alexandria than we have in common with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying there? We are sinners at the cross. We are on equal ground. Who are we to think we're better than anybody else? We are simply partakers and lovers of God by the grace of God. All of us. So put your gavel down. Ben, put your gavel down. I'm speaking to myself. Ben, put your gavel down. And love sacrificially. Maybe instead of a judge's gavel, you've got your victim card, right? You've been hurt. You've been wronged. You've been done wrong. All those things there, right? You've been mistreated. You're poor and pitiful and feeling those things. But until you stop playing the victim, you will never love self-sacrificially. Never. Because the victim is just as selfish as the judge. Just as selfish. It's just the other side of the coin. Church, Jesus Christ has called you to love sacrificially. But not just sacrificially, right? I mean, we see here in the text, I told you there were two hows. The other way, second, Jesus has called us to love in a way that's enthusiastic. Enthusiastic. How am I supposed to love, Brother Ben? Enthusiastically. Love is not just an action, right? It's an emotion too. I mean, you can just imagine. You can just imagine love without enthusiasm. You won't find the word enthusiasm in this text. You won't find the word joyfully or anything along those lines, but I think that Jesus gets to the emotion of what he's talking about here in verse 15. Look what he says here. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master's doing. But I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. And I think here in that text right there, I think the emotion of what he's talking about there is the difference between a slave and a friend. Think about the difference between those two, right? The difference between a slave and a friend. We have a command here. Love one another. But we're not to approach the command as a slave. Now think about how a slave would approach that command, right? A slave simply does whatever he's told. He doesn't really want to. In fact, he'd rather do something differently. He does what he's supposed to do. He's doing it out of duty, right? Therefore, there really won't be any enthusiasm. And if there is, it'll be fake enthusiasm. No joy, no excitement. You see, I've been commanded to love my wife. And just think, you have too. You've been commanded to love your spouse. You've been commanded to love your parents, your children, whatever relationship it is that you have in mind there. But just imagine if you approach that commandment, that relationship, like a slave instead of a friend. I mean, you can just see it on Valentine's Day tomorrow. Hey, babe, I brought you some flowers here. I just want to let you know that I love you. And you mean the world to me, by the way. I mean, can I get a big smoocheroo or something, please? I mean, you know, no love, no emotion, no excitement. Physically, I'm saying I love you, but emotionally, I'm saying I don't really love you. And that's what a slave does, right? That's what a slave does. That's why we're to approach this commandment as a friend. Friends do loving things because they want to. They long to see the joy on someone else's heart. They long and desire to spend time with them, to talk with them, to walk with them. And as I said a moment ago, Jesus died for you and me because he wanted to. That's why we sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. You'll never hear us sing, "What a slave we have in Jesus." Never. Because Jesus joyfully, enthusiastically, yes, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." But he longed, he said, for the joy, it says in Hebrews, set before him. He endured the cross. He joyfully, enthusiastically, willingly went to the cross, and we're to love like Jesus. And he loved as a friend instead of as a slave. So it's our duty to love the people in this congregation, right? I mean, you're not just called to do that in the Bible, but again, as a covenant member of West Main Baptist Church, you've promised to do that. But it shouldn't be done solely out of duty. And there should instead be a want to, right? It's not just duty. It's a want to. There's enthusiasm to your love. And it'll show. Believe me, it'll show if you're simply doing things out of duty. It'll show in the way you shake hands, how you volunteer for ministry here, right? How you physically look at other people, how you engage people in conversation, the frequency in which you attend fellowships here at this church, how easily and often you decide to just stay home instead of being here. Do you find yourself, for the smallest and easiest stuff, staying home? That says, if that's you, if you find yourself missing more than you used to, that tells me that your love is waxing cold for this congregation, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And no, I'm not being a legalist that says you've got to be here every time the doors are open. But there should be a desire to be with those that you share the family of God with here. It'll show in the way you get together with church folks other than your kin outside of West Main Baptist Church property. Do you ever go and meet with them? Do you ever have dinner with other people? Do you ever have them over to your house? Do your kids play together? Do you play games together? You have a just whatever, right? We could go on and on with this. I mean, illustrating and giving examples. Jesus desires for you to love one another with enthusiasm. Most certainly with enthusiasm. So, those are the two hows. You're to love sacrificially. You're to love enthusiastically. Now let's look at the two whys here. The two whys. The first why I am supposed to love is that God has chosen to love you in spite of you. Now think about this with me. God has chosen to love you in spite of you. Look at the first part here, verse 16. The first part of verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Why did Jesus say that? Because it has bearing on why, what should motivate us to love one another, right? This verse is not just talking about the disciples. Some will take that verse and say, he's just talking about the disciples there. But I submit to you, if he's just talking about the disciples in verse 16, then he's just talking about the disciples in verse 12 and verse 17. The call to love reaches the entire church, right? All who will believe on the name of Jesus. And the same is true for verse 16. All who will believe on the name of Jesus is talked about here in verse 16. So all who believe on Jesus were chosen by Jesus. When did that happen? Well, it tells us in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 tells us exactly when this happened. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Now, these verses cause many to become alarmed. I mean, they cause them to get worried and alarmed, maybe even mad. Many want to fight over these verses, but listen, church, these verses are not for fighting about. They're not for fighting about. They're actually meant to cause you and me to rejoice in God's grace. These verses are meant to make your heart aflame with love for Jesus. They're meant to drop your jaw and have your hand come up and cover your mouth in amazement that God loves you. It's meant to cause you to bring you to say, me, God? Me? Why me? God, you know me. You know me. You know my past. You know my present. God, you know my future. You know my lies, my doubts, my drunkenness. God, you know my sexual immorality, my gossiping nature. You know me through and through. You know my murderous anger toward people. Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve this. And Jesus answers back to you, amen. Amen. You don't deserve it. That's why salvation from beginning to end is grace. Jesus says, I want to be gracious to you. Church, for every person, every person who will believe on Jesus, he chose you before the foundation of the world. In spite of you, in spite of you, in spite of your sins, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your hatred of him even. Therefore, you should choose to love others. You should love others. You should choose to love others in spite of them, in spite of their sins, in spite of their shortcomings, right? That's what that's saying. Oh, the gracious mercy that should saturate our relationships here. We should be the quickest to forgive because we've been forgiven much. We should be gracious to others because we've been given grace much. And merciful because God has been incredibly merciful. God expects for those connected to him by grace through faith in Jesus to live in a way that is loving, right? But looking further into our passage, we see a second reason why we're to love one another. And it's simply this: God expects you to bear the fruit of love. He expects this of you, right? It's a commandment, isn't it? Look at verse 16b, right? Jesus says, I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Now, think about in the context of John where this comes, right? It comes on the heels of I am the vine and you are the branches, right? You remember that metaphor, that parable or illustration, whatever you want to call it there, right? And so we get in the mind, in our mind, a picture of a grapevine with loads of grapes on it, right? We don't see many grapevines here, do we? We see apple trees, things like that. So picture apple trees in your mind if grapevines, if you can't really get a picture of that. Picture fruit loaded down on the plant. And Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you abide in me, if you're attached to me, if you are mine, you will bear abundant fruit. abundant fruit. Therefore, if you're connected to Jesus, He expects you to bear fruit. Right? Just like we expect a branch to bear fruit. Just like that. Right? He's talking about the fruit of love here, the fruit of love. And the fruit of love indicates a connection with Jesus. And no fruit, friend, it indicates separation from Jesus. Right? I mean, so this is a serious matter. Fruit of love indicates connection. No fruit of love indicates separation. Have you ever thought about why God puts you together with other people? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, why is the Christian life, why is it not a Lone Ranger experience? I mean, there are lots of reasons, right? I mean, it's just better together. Yeah, it's more of a joy. People help me along. But you know what? Since we're talking about fruit, let's talk about fruit here. Have you found that you're more spiritual when you're by yourself? And here's what I mean by that. When I'm by myself, man, I am very loving with myself, right? I'm very patient with myself. I'm very faithful with myself. I'm kind. I'm gentle. All these things, right? I'm long-suffering with myself. Then you throw somebody else in the mix, right? And all of a sudden, my fruit falls off, right? It withers up. It rots. And I thought I was spiritual, but when I get in the midst of other Christians, other people, suddenly I realize that I'm not quite as spiritual as I thought. Right? We can be so easily deceived as to how spiritual we are when we're in isolation. Right? That's why God desires for a man and a woman to marry. Right? Because when I'm by myself, man, Christy points things out to me that I would never see by myself. Right? And I point things out to her. There's something when you're in close, intimate relationship with that all of a sudden we see our shortcomings. I see my anger. I see my bitterness. I see all these things. And friend, that is why God has put us together. He's thrown other people in the mix, right? He's thrown other people in the mix because He desires for us to bear fruit and for that fruit to be real fruit and for that fruit to last. Therefore, God desires to prune you, to fertilize you, to shape you through relationships He's given you here at West Main Baptist Church. He has. He has. And so in your relationships with the people here at West Main Baptist, look around, right? I mean, it's the people around you with whom you are supposed to bear fruit with. You're to bear fruit toward. God expects for those connected to Him by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, to bear the fruit of love. All right, so we've seen the two hows. We've seen the two whys. Quickly this morning, let's look at the two consequences of disobeying by not loving. First, hindered prayers. Hindered prayer comes to the disobedient. Hindered prayer. How many of y'all this morning would say, I would love for God to say no to my prayer? Right? And none of us do. Right? Why would you pray if you think, well, God's just going to say no? God has commanded you and me to love the brethren, right? And when we don't, one of the ways that God gets your attention to mine is by saying no. By saying no to our prayers. He shuts up heaven to our prayers. Look at verse 16. 16c, sort of. So that, he says, bear fruit, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. If you're bearing fruit, what this text is saying, if you're bearing fruit, particularly the fruit of love, your prayer will be unhindered. Your prayer will be unhindered so that whatever you ask of the Father in Jesus' name, He may give to you. But if you're not bearing fruit, particularly the fruit of love, then you can know this, your prayer will be hindered so that whatever you ask of the Father in Jesus' name may not be given to you. And so I wonder this morning, have you found recently that you've been praying and praying and praying and God just seems to keep saying no? Please, God, no. It very well might be. I'm not saying it is. There's other reasons why God says no. But it very well might be because you're falling short in the area of loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. God very well might be trying to get your attention. And if you'll only repent, if you'll only make things right with God, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, God will open the doors of heaven and give you the desires of your heart. That very well might happen. And then the second consequence, the final thing here this morning, judgment most likely awaits the disobedient. Judgment most likely awaits the disobedient. Look at verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, if that's true, the opposite's true, right? If you do not do what I've commanded, you are not my friends. You are not my friends if you're disobedient to this commandment. And so what did Jesus command us to do here? Simply to love one another, right? To love one another. So Jesus is saying, if you do not love one another, you are not my friends. And that's a serious word from the Lord, amen? That's a serious word from God. You see, only Jesus' friends enter into heaven. Only Jesus' friends are redeemed by His sacrificial death, right? Only Jesus' friends escape God's wrath on our sin. Therefore, just think about this with me. If your life characterizes, if it's characterized by habitually not knowing, it's a habit, it's a common theme. I'm not saying you don't ever lose your cool. I'm not saying you don't ever have a problem with someone here in the church. But if it's an habitual thing, it happens often, and it for long periods of time, it very well might be an indicator. It very well might be a good sign that you are not saved. I can't say for certain. It's not me to judge. I'm just a fruit inspector. And actually, I'm not even inspecting your fruit. You are today. I'm not telling you anything. I'm saying inspect your own fruit. No fruit indicates that the tree is bad, right? Saved people bear the fruit of love. Unsaved people do not. And if you are not saved, listen to me closely, judgment awaits you. West Main Baptist, think about this with me. I pray that tons of the fruit of love would be manifest right here in our church. There's not a perfect church, right? Amen? We're not a perfect church. We are a church who are sinners being saved by the grace of God. And so we all have areas to work in. So I want to challenge you this morning, right? Can I first say this morning that I love you? I do love you. Listen, I get to go. All last week was spent with me bragging about you all and how much you love your pastor and how much you love the Lord and how much you love one another. But there's always room for growth. Don't hear me coming this morning with just a rebuke. I'm coming with an encouragement and an affirmation as well. Right? I love you, and thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving God. But at this time, I want to invite Miss Debbie to come and begin to play this morning. She's going to come and she's going to play What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And this morning's invitation is going to be just a little different. Just a little different. And here's what I want you to do this morning as she begins to play. As she begins to play this morning. If you've been saved, if you've repented and believed on Jesus, I've given you a place on the back of your prayer sheet this morning. I've given you a place on the back of your listening sheet to list people in this congregation that you're having trouble genuinely loving. That's what that 1, 2, and 3 is for down at the bottom. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down these names. Write them down. Don't show them to anybody. It's between you and God. But I challenge you, write down their names. Maybe this morning you would be honest with the Lord and say, I just don't like that person. I just don't. Maybe you say, I don't trust them. Maybe they've hurt you in the past. Maybe they disappointed you. Maybe since that happened, things just have not been the same. They've not been right. They've not been as close as God desires for you to be with them. Maybe it's not this morning that you don't love them. Maybe this morning it's the fact that you just don't know them. In a congregation of this size, 150 people, we should easily be able to know every single person, I believe, right? To some degree, you should be able to know everyone's name. And I talk to some of you sometimes and you'll say, now who is that? I'll mention somebody and you don't even know who I'm talking about. And they're in this church and they've been here for a long time. Maybe you don't know them. And if you don't know them, how can you love them? And so maybe you don't even know their name. And so in the line there this morning, you just want to write down the man with black curly hair who sits, right? The woman who has 8 kids, whoever that, right? Just some sort of description so you'll know exactly, so God will know as you write it down and you'll be reminded of who you're talking about. Maybe this morning they're just different from you and you have trouble loving those who are different. Or maybe this morning you come from a total different angle and you've sort of been AWOL as a person, as a member of West Main Baptist Church, and you just want to come and repent to God and say, God, I've disregarded my promise to love these people. I just want you to do business with God. I want to just turn you free right here. And I just want to give you just a minute. Just take the time and write these down. I'll give you a minute. Maybe it's not 3. Maybe it's just 1. Maybe it's 10. But you do business right now. You probably won't have to think long. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to pray, right? I want you to begin to pray. Repent and ask God. Here in just a moment. Repent and ask God to forgive you if you need forgiveness, right? If you've been in the wrong, if you've been unloving. And then I want you to ask God to grow your love for these people in your heart. Ask God. God will bring increase. Beg God to help you show them love with enthusiasm, right? And maybe when this service is done, oh, I'm about to get radical. You actually go and confess to them. Or you reconcile with them, whatever that looks like. Maybe you don't do it out in the foyer. Maybe you call them when you get home. But whenever you need to, if God is calling you to make a difference, to reconcile, I pray you would do it. And maybe this morning, maybe you're unsaved. I said that part right there was just for saved people. Maybe this morning you are unsaved. You are apart from the love of God and Jesus Christ because you have hardened your heart in rebellion. I beg you this morning, I beg you, turn to Christ this morning. God says He will save you. He will forgive you if you will only call on the name of Jesus and be saved. And this morning, I pray that you would do that.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church, or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.